I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
Three employees and two work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
It's Helen, Ronnie, and Pieces.
A therapeutic jigsaw.
Where we get famous guests.
Discussing how they deal with stress.
We've only got 10 seconds of music. We'll just speed up.
It's all about relaxing and chilling.
Oh, no, you're going to go over now.
Not winding each other up.
Oh, it's a little late for that.
Go on, quit. Hello, and welcome to Hal and Ronnie in Pieces. I'm Hal Cruttendon.
And I'm Ronnie Ancona.
Yes, this is the show where Ronnie and I continue our journey to become calmer, more rational people while chatting to a more sorted showbiz friend and doing a jigsaw.
A brilliant gimmick for a podcast or an audio format, I think you'll all agree.
As we all agree, you can guess whose idea that was.
Listen, I forgot to tell you this, Hal. Amanda, our producer, is not here today. But no matter, Hal, because we've got a fantastic new producer here. Young, happening, vivacious. It's Lily, how are you?
I'm all right.
Brilliant to have you on board, Lily.
Did you have a good week?
I don't know if I should talk about it.
This is the show where you let it all hang out because from those embarrassing details comes the entertainment. That's what the listeners want to hear. They want to hear the funny stories, Lily. They want to hear the crazy stuff that's happened this week.
So what happened to you this week?
I had to have my cat put down.
Oh, okay. That's...
Yeah, that doesn't really have a punchline, does it?
Was it
quite old?
I'm hoping.
7?
Oh, that's not that old for a cat. See,
well, that's old enough for you to really love it. So that's a terrible one, Lily. Oh, thank you so much for coming in still. And that must
but
be very hard.
Can we put a positive spin on that? Well, only if you don't like cats. I mean, I am a big cat lover.
Please shush. Please stop now.
Anyway, Hal, how are you this week?
I have been hitting the gym, Ronnie.
Really?
I can just tell by the way you look that you don't think I go to the gym. I've said this to you before. I know I have, that it is really hard for some of us to even stay this chubby.
So where do you go? Where's your gym?
I go to my local David Lloyd's.
Ooh. Oh, they'd be up for a sponsorship deal because we haven't got one. Have we? Would they be good? Because, you know, fun, friendly, ideal way to burn calories. We should,
Guys, have you asked them about sponsorship yet?
No. Not in so many words, no.
If you ask them, then we could, you know.
Thank you, Lily, actually.
Get money to publicise them rather than
Lily.
Doing it for free.
Thank you. I think I understand how sponsorship works, you know. How? Why don't you ask them? And then we can get them for free.
Ronnie, it is really hard to, they're all so beautiful, the people that work there, they're all like toned, the men and the women, they're all in incredible shape. And it is quite intimidating to have normal conversation with people like that.
I mean, is there anyone there that's in your shape?
There are people not working there that are in my shape, yes.
Oh, okay. I don't know, I can't really relate to that problem, but I can see where you're coming from.
Do you honestly say you don't get intimidated by beautiful people?
Listen, that's a little bit insulting, because you're automatically saying that I'm just right down at the bottom of the food chain,
I'm not
aesthetically speaking.
I'm not saying...
Yes, you are.
I'm saying we are people of a certain age,
here we go. You could... The title trope of the invisible, unattractive, middle-aged
you
woman.
You are an attractive woman. With the way your career is going, you could well get a job at David Lloyd's, but maybe somewhere in maybe the back office or something.
Well, look, do you not think we should try and do a little...
Oh, yes, we'll do, yes.
Yeah.
So I genuinely believe that David Lloyd is the best place to work out, because you get people of all abilities and all ages, and yet it's an accepting environment for everyone, Ronnie.
Oh, and if I join, how could you get me a discount on a membership?
I'm not completely sure. I can get guest passes, but they do have to be paid for.
Well, that's not a discount at all, is it?
But they gave me a free coffee on my birthday.
Oh. Well, I might try David Lloyd's if you get a free coffee.
So, if it's your birthday.
So if you're listening, David Lloyd's, we're always open. Although I have to say, Hal, I am not sure you're the best advert for David Lloyd's. I mean, I'm not being insulting, but if you get sponsorship, there should be a thing called anti-sponsorship, where firms and brands pay you not to associate with their brand, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
It's not exactly blackmail. It's just, we don't want you to mention us or in any way be
That's
correlated
a brilliant
with my
idea.
Brand.
I think you are perfect for this, Ronnie, because I think there must be loads of places in London that don't want you there.
Is it criminal? Are we veering into it? Who cares?
Anyway, seriously, any of the big companies, if you don't want to be mentioned in the podcast, you know where to send your money. Our guest, Ronnie.
Great guest. You've known her for years, haven't
I've known
you?
Her for almost like 28 years. We started doing comedy at almost the same time. She was about 6 months behind me.
And then she sort of really overtook you very fast, didn't she? Sort of left you behind in the dust, or she was like stratospheric.
Just a little bit, but I think I'd ask the question, who's happier, Ronnie?
I think she is, actually, Hal.
Okay, so time to welcome the amazing...
Shappi Kosandi. Lily's crying. We're very excited because we have got an amazing comic, comedian, writer, intellectual, I'm going to
intellectual
say as well.
Political activist
political
as well, really. You have been.
Humanist and...
We've still not said who it is.
Chaperone.
Shappi Kosandi. Is here.
It's Shappi Kosandi. And the reason I sounded a little bit hesitant there is because I've always known you as Shappi.
Yes.
And adored your Shappi, but you do go under the name... Chaperette.
I reclaimed my real name because my children didn't even know that I had a real name. And also when Hal said, it's Shappi Kosandi, for a minute I thought, oh, Ronnie sounds disappointed. But you didn't. You just were worried about my name.
Yes.
I thought you
yes.
thought that I was someone else for a minute.
No.
We get Martin Roberts from Holmes Under the Hammer, Nigella Lawson.
Poor man's Nigella Lawson, yes. If we're lucky. The person that people mistake Hal for, he is the king of daytime TV, so let's not forget that.
Anyway, Shappi, the first thing we do is that you can choose your background, the video background that we're going to do this very relaxing chat to.
Oh, okay.
You have like a sort of alpine lake with lots of sort of...
whatever the other one is, I'm going to take this one.
I don't know. You haven't seen the other one. The other one's pretty special.
Okay.
By the water's edge.
Yeah, alpine, please.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. Looking at that image, actually, you might drown. You're far too close to the water's edge on that
That's
one.
That's true.
I don't trust the sea. Oh. I trust a tree more than the sea.
Do you know what I was watching?
Let me guess.
I was watching, because I was obviously researching you and looking at your website.
Because you haven't known me for 30 years.
I know. No, but I'm so self-centred, I have to remember, about other people's lives. It was the interview you did before you went into the jungle, and you went, I actually hate the heat. I hate heat.
I'm not good with heat. It surprises people. I had my birthday party recently and one of my friends said, well, the weather's looking good. It didn't occur to me what the weather was going to be like. There's no such thing as bad weather, only
the wrong
inappropriate clothing.
And that's a glorious positive spin to put on it.
Hot weather makes me feel like a big slug and I can't do anything and I get headaches. And when it starts to get chilly, it mobilises me.
And also, do you not think, Shappi, that when the weather is really nice and it's blue sky, you feel, I've got to be out. And everyone in the UK go out with no clothes on, even with a day that's nice weather in April, suddenly they're walking around with this ludicrous optimism and nobody can do any work or do anything because it's like, oh, this is the last day we'll ever get with a blue sky.
You've hit the nail on the head. So it's not so much I don't like hot weather. I don't like hot weather in the UK and Ireland. And because the pressure to make the most of it is unreal.
Yes.
If you're in another country where it's perfectly okay on a hot day to draw the curtains and sit and watch a film at midday, I can cope with that.
Also, the other thing is we're not set up for good weather, vis-a-vis a beautiful leafy palisade and a lovely square where everybody's sitting, eating gelato next to a kind of piss-covered curb and people are trying to put little restaurant tables on, pretending.
We don't have hot weather culture. We don't have the gathering when the sun goes down. We don't have the eating late.
Old men hanging out on the street chatting. That's what I'd love.
We don't want to talk about your personal... don't bring this up in front of Shaggy.
I would hate that. I would hate that culture. I don't even like... Well, I do like my neighbours, but I'll go, hello, and then run away.
I went on holiday with 25 other families from my neighbourhood.
Oh.
80 of us.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
I'm very neighbourly.
But that's taken it to new extremes.
It was extreme, but it was fun.
Who organised that?
Oh, the queen of the neighbourhood, who is a very good organiser.
Is it a cult?
If it is, they've now started another WhatsApp group to go again on holiday next year, and I'm not on it.
Are you serious?
They did ask me if I want to be. But I think it's funnier to imagine they've gone off and shed the ones that they didn't want to go again.
Oh, yeah. This is like an Apple TV series. You need to write this immediately.
You grew up in Ealing. You live in Ealing now?
I went back to it. I spent a lot of time away from Ealing.
See, I could never afford to go back. I grew up there, left, and then went, got stuck.
I got very lucky. I had a manager who helped me.
Your manager helped you with your, like, mortgage and house?
No, I was working a lot then. Oh, yeah. I was doing quite, you know, really successful tours and he sort of forwarded me.
Oh, I have a manager. Actually, manager
does
me favours.
He's trying to get you with another agent.
What?
What,
he's
Christian?
Not trying to move me to another
agent. Is
he
not? Oh, I, no, that's he just, what I thought he was doing.
He told
as a
me he was looking for another agent for you.
No. If anything, he probably feels that he's not good enough for me. And I keep saying, you are good enough, Christian. You are good enough for
he
me.
He said
he's
to
very
me,
low
I
self-esteem.
Think Hal would be a great potter.
Yes. It's funny you should say that. I think it bless his heart, because he's not just abandoning you, is he? He's looking at all sorts of alternative vacations that you could do. Now, you know, that's quite impressive, just saying.
So I've known your manager for years.
You've known Christian
and
for years.
I introduced him to his wife.
Did you?
And when I see their children, I say to them, you exist because of me.
But you're right. Those kids wouldn't have existed without you. And it's very good for the new generation to be reminded of some harsh truths these
by
days.
By a googly-eyed friend of their mothers in
yes,
the kitchen.
Absolutely.
Well, do you know that sort of, my kids are aware of their sort of, like when we got divorced, and I have a line in my show about my kids saying when we got divorced, they said, never regret your marriage, Dad, because that would be regretting us. And I said, yeah, but I could have had better kids with someone else. And it goes, yes, it does get a big laugh in the room. Not this room, but in other rooms it gets big laughs. Because the worst things I've said to my kids end up in my act because they were said spontaneously. They did laugh.
Jigsaw.
Oh, yes, Jigsaw. Have
Jigsaw.
You ever... Jigsaw
That's
point
That's the theme
next.
Of the podcast.
Do you
keeps
like,
on forgetting.
Do you like jigsaws, Shappy?
Hal, I dream of a time where I have the time to bliss out and do a jigsaw. I have a stack of things in my house, jigsaws, adult colouring books, pottery kits, furniture to upcycle, but in my head, I'm this lady with acres of time. Oh, really? I'm running out the house while trying to wash fox shit out
God,
of my dog's
Shappy,
fur.
It's like looking in a mirror. I mean, that's exactly...
Is it one of those mirrors at the fairground?
Yes, the fairground.
Are you saying your life is as busy as Shappy's?
Yes.
Not work-wise.
No, but I'm...
it's crisis you've created.
I'm saying that I've got great intentions to do lots of different things. Yeah. That's all. But jigsaws, I don't think, even though that this was the theme of the whole podcast, rather randomly and strangely, and looking back, maybe regretting that, is that we don't have the type of heads that work well with jigsaws. Hal pretends he thinks that he does have an organised brain. We're a bit overwhelmed. I think we should have got a smaller one.
It depends what the aim is. I'm not a person that cares very much about winning. So for me, just the mindful act of sitting here and going doobity-doo, I'm one of those that gets the corners first and works from there, works from the colours.
Oh, corners first, you're technical.
And if
you're
there's a piece missing at the end, you know, I don't care all that much.
Oh, that would drive me mad. We keep going back to the start with this jigsaw. We keep doing episodes, then breaking it up. Doing it together.
It's because our producer doesn't like us and every time we move on, we've been sabotaged.
Mm. But you know what? It's interesting though, because as I approach 50... You kind of really do think, don't you, like, I'm coming down the other side of the mountain.
We don't know. We're just coping with hitting just over 40, Ronnie and I.
That's
as a lie, Shappy, obviously.
I know. I've known you for... You've always been a bit older than me, Hal.
I know.
There are some things I don't forget. But I thought, I'm coming down the other side of the mountain, right? Mm. And I kept finding myself going into Oliver Bonas, the shop, and looking at those fish vases.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And just going, oh, fish vase. And thinking, I kind of like them, but I kind of hate them. Yes. Will I buy the fish vase? And then I thought, oh my God, I'm nearly 50. If I buy that fish vase, in the not too distant future, my children will be picking it up while they're grieving for me, going, did this mean anything to her, or can we bin it?
Yes.
So I thought, I'm not going to get the fish vase. And as I felt like this, I had a little chat with Johnny Vegas, who's not a close friend, but we have good vibes. And I sort of just chatted to him a little bit about how I was feeling. And then he sent me this cute postcard, and it had that thing that's a bit live, life, love. Mm. But it just said, do more of what you love. Mm. And I was like, okay, what have I always said I want to do? What have I always said? If I didn't do comedy, I would go back to university. And so I went back to university, and it is quadrupled my workload, but I cannot begin to tell you what joy it brings me.
Oh,
really hard. Because I thought, am I going to die without ever having, a bit like getting a dog. Am I going to live my whole life going, oh, you know, should I get a dog? I wish I had a dog. Then I just got two dogs.
Yeah.
And it's really difficult, but I wouldn't be without them.
But that's the way to attack life. Because I think people are generally or inherently adaptable.
Yeah.
And so if you sort of said, oh, I can't possibly have children because I haven't got time, or it's going to be me, or I won't be able to cope, or we would have literally become extinct, the human race.
You'd never feel right. I did not feel when my children were born, I didn't have a moment of... Well, obviously, the trauma is far more for the woman giving birth, but I found the experience quite traumatic and just relief that this child was alive and fine. But I sort of holding my firstborn and looking into her eyes, and I almost felt like she was going, you can't afford this. But I would never have felt rich enough to have had kids.
I wonder if that's quite a gender thing.
Mm.
Because I remember when my baby boy looked at me, he was like looking at me going, I'm not sure if you're cut out for this. I mean, do you know which way is up? Do you know which end is which end? And just that little scrap of human that, you know, moments earlier had been part of my insides.
I know, they become arrogant very quickly. I've given birth to two girls. They are literally came out of the womb with cigarette holders and going, Mummy, we have to talk. This baby girl doesn't go with my mittens. How can they be so manipulative?
But that's their humour, and that's how much they love you and trust you to get their humour. I love the fact every Mother's Day my son writes me a very professional appraisal of my mothering and like
that's
my mentor.
Very funny.
Yes, you've done a lot of hard work dealing with your demons.
Like an HR report.
Absolutely. Every year I look forward to it. It's really hilarious. And then I also cried first time until I realised it was a joke.
I mean, we're very rough in our family. My youngest doesn't look like me. My oldest really does.
Doesn't look like me at all.
She looks very like my sister. So there's not really been a question of parentage. But I made this joke too much, and one Father's Day I got a stepfather's day card. Because I was making a joke going, even if I wasn't your dad, we're so bonded. And I almost am more emotional about stepfathers because they're raising a child that isn't theirs. And I think I'd made this joke to her, so then I got a stepfather's day card. Is that terrible to admit? Shappy, sorry, I just realised the point I really wanted to make. I knew you at the beginning of our comedy careers.
Yes.
We were both doing Jill Edwards' thing, weren't we?
Mm. And that's a comedy course, wasn't it?
Yes, a Jill Edwards comedy course, sorry.
Was he funnier then, Shappy?
We weren't in the same course.
We weren't.
I think I was a year above.
I was a senior. But we weren't really years. We were terms, weren't we? But we both did the same showcase. But this is what I think is interesting. I think you have definitely changed, grown, developed. I felt like we were both quite, sort of worried, panicky people. And you stopped being that, and I continued being that, I think. You found a way to overcome being stressy. You deal with it much better than I do. This is my impression. I don't even know if this is true or not.
To be fair, you have reached the pinnacle of stress.
But I'm sort of making it worse for myself by working with people that really trigger that stress.
It's interesting you say that, actually, Hal, because I remember I saw you somewhere. Where's Shakespeare from?
Stratford-upon-Avon.
You in Stratford-upon-Avon, and you were stressing about your tour. And I kind of walked away from, it wasn't really a conversation, you just said some things into my face, but I walked away
Very familiar.
Oh, he's still like that. I wonder what that's about, because...
No growth, personal growth.
I haven't done the work. I haven't done the work. As I say.
Actually, empathy, sympathy, kindness to yourself.
Mm.
Sorry, you could tell I'm training to be a psychotherapist.
No,
sorry, I'm going to try very hard not to use the word empathy again.
No, I'm going to try very hard not to cry, because these are the times I went, empathy to myself.
Well, the thing is, what happened to me was, when I look back on those early years, I was so stuck... I was so terrified of being told off all the time, and every gig felt like an audition, and I didn't know how to inhabit my own skin comfortably. And it was really, really difficult. So I had the experience of going through a divorce right when my career was going really well. I was on TV, I was on everything. I was kind of on the point of being given a lot of chances and not being able to take them or turning them down because my personal life was falling apart and I had a little baby. And the career didn't mean jack in that moment. It was like my life falling apart. And then I sort of rebuilt and all of that. And then weirdly, how shallow does this sound? I did I'm a Celebrity to Get Me Out of Here. And I can tell you, I jumped out of a helicopter, but really I was strapped to a man like a baby in a papoose and he jumped out.
Yeah.
But regardless, I was hurtling towards planet Earth headfirst at speed. And it takes a good while. I think it was about 3 hours before he put the parachute on. And then you twirl. I'm terrified of heights anyway. And then floating down and being so grateful to be alive and to be floating, all I thought was, why don't I see my friends more? And then I thought, God, the comedy industry is full of the smartest, most empathetic, curious people. It cured me of all anxiety about my career and this deep love for an appreciation for those people that I get to meet and talk to and all of this. So I came back from I'm a Celebrity and I went to Edinburgh full of that joy and everyone else, they had not jumped out of a helicopter and they were like, oh, no one's in my show, but it doesn't matter because believe me, I've seen the other side.
Yeah.
I've seen the potential for ITV fame. Yes. There was no joy in that for me. It was all performative empathy. You couldn't be real.
So you realised in a way that you missed your tribe, as in like tribe, as in the comedy people.
I miss my tribe, and I've always wondered what it would be like to be famous, and what famous meant that for a brief time I could buy really nice handbags and get mobbed in Pets at Home.
Yes.
Who wants that?
The thing about I'm a Celebrity, though, is that thing of, have you done interviews
for us? I was
asked
to do I'm a Celebrity, but I'm too terrified because bizarrely, I'm just far too self-conscious.
I've had like three interviews for it over the years. I'm the lowest of low because I've never been offered. But I always have lovely chats with them. I find that interview was very lovely. And then I talk to my sister and my sister goes, do not go on the show because she's so worried. You cannot control the edit. What's coming out? What are you going to reveal about yourself?
She wasn't concerned about the British public.
But you came out of it well, didn't you? You didn't come out of...
So I had a plan. My plan was not to argue with anyone and not to cry. And I knew I'd come out either first or second. I knew that. I didn't know I had...
Why did you know that?
Because I knew I wouldn't put myself out there enough to be interesting enough to the audience. And also, I was so full of terror. I didn't know I had ADHD. I think if I'd had known and known how to manage it, I would have had a much better time on it. But I think they expected me to be like a big hectoring lefty as well, because I was in with two hardcore conservatives, but I'm not like that. And in fact, those two are the people I actually got on with the most. When someone was rude to me or horrible to me, I just let it go. And I went to see this really brilliant therapist beforehand who gave me some mantras to say, because I thought, I'm not going to have my children see me upset or having a Barney with someone on TV. And so it was fascinating, though, to see the game. The people that make those programs are actual geniuses.
Yes.
Like they put me and Ian Lee in a luxury room by ourselves. Yeah. And Ian's marriage had broken up. The public didn't know that, but we did. Right. And I was single. And I felt, if we held hands right now, I would be family breaker-upper, husband stealer, all of this. And we would have been the story. And we chatted about it a bit afterwards.
In bed.
In bed, you know,
wrapping a post-coital cigarette.
I thought, if I ever was involved in this program again, I'd like to be behind the scenes in some way. I'd like to be the therapist that they all go and talk to.
Yes. You have an honorary doctorate.
I do.
How do you get that one of those, and why have Ronnie and I not been offered one?
There's such a huge list of things that Hal and I have not been offered. In fact, I'm paid to not go to the London Fashion Week. Do not come anywhere near the front three rows. But one of the things that we've realised is that we don't have an honorary doctorate, and lots of people do. Tell us about
yours. Did you go to university?
I did. I got to three universities.
Where did you go?
I went to the University of Kent at Canterbury. I went to Central St Martin's. It's at St Martin's School of Art and Central, which is now the University.
You just skip over University of Kent at Canterbury.
Yes.
So that's not the University of Kent.
Well, it is the University of Kent. I'm just trying to make it sound better. Okay. And also I went to University College, UCL. Yeah.
Okay. You know, you're talking about when you don't do a good gig, you go over it and over it. Again, I didn't know how to do it. I didn't prepare a speech. And also I didn't know that I had to stand on a stage while all of the students got their degrees. And I really found that really difficult because you have to just sit there
going, I did no work, I did no work.
I got a degree at that university, but I found myself like going, I can't sit here for 2 hours. Really? Like I was clawing at my skin. Like now I take a fidget toy or something, but I just thought, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. So that was really, really difficult. And when it came to doing a speech, I thought I'm going to talk from the heart. And I just wanted to say the bit of advice my dad always gave me was have the courage to be poor. Because if you leave and you get a job and you get used to money, one day you'll wake up, you'll be 40 and you'll go, oh, I used to want to be a theatre director or whatever, yeah. Right? Have the courage. And I know that that is really difficult. And I'm lucky because I had parents in London, so I was never going to be homeless. I have to caveat all this with, I understand that, right? But so I thought I'd do that and then I'd do some of my jokes. And then the person that introduced me had been online and just did all of my jokes. She smashed it. She had a great gig. She said, in an interview, Shappy said that the best advice she was given was never get a proper job, never have a plan B. So I just went there with very little and I hadn't prepared and I wasn't the performer that I am now and the person that I am now to be comfortable and say that. I'll probably say that now. So I don't know, somehow my dad ended up getting a standing ovation that night. But
that's so brilliant.
Because he's got ADHD too. He full on fell asleep. I've got to wake him up somehow.
That's
so
quite impressive to fall asleep with ADHD as well.
Well, I had a boyfriend at the time who also had ADHD and he was sat at the front and then he kept showing me his nipple in the middle of like Winchester Cathedral. It was quite the day.
Oh, right. Lily's just, I think we've got to go to adverts. Is it just me or... It's almost like the adverts are listening to us. Am I being paranoid?
Ronnie, you're being paranoid.
Welcome to Celebrity 24 Hours in A&E. This week, celebrities who have honorary doctorates will be putting their qualifications to good use by working as doctors and seeing patients in a real hospital with Frank Skinner.
It appears you have an open fracture there and it does look agony, mate, but I can't do much about that, really, other than give you a couple of tickets to my new show.
Ruby Wax.
So let me get this right. You have a permanent headache and you have a constant pain in your backside. I suggest you divorce him.
Gary Lineker.
So the bad news is that you've got tired legs and you've just lost that extra yard of pace, but you still have a really cultured left foot.
Jonathan Ross. Yeah, you're a charming bloke. You're funny, vivacious, and very entertaining. This is probably why you've picked up an STD. Olivia Colman.
Oh, I can't believe it. It's such an honour to be asked to operate on you. But just before I do, a couple of people I'd like to thank. My senior registrar, my scrub nurse, and the whole of the rest of my team. You're dead.
And Julian Clary.
Is that quite a sizable swelling? Or are you just pleased to see me? Palpitations, high blood pressure, but enough about me.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
It is true that I have realised that in my 50s, though, that what you just said about do the job you really want to do, I've moaned for far too long. And it's not been till now that I look back and go, so thankful that I did this job. I'm so, I mean, not every choice that I've made professionally I'm happy about. But
you know what he's referring to when he says that,
don't you?
This, with me, with the podcast.
But it's taken me to my 50s. You know, I did go to private school, had parents pay me for this posh school. I was sitting at somebody who worked in the city and they went, you went to St Paul's. You're all over the city, aren't you? And I immediately went to, I should be a multimillionaire.
Can I tell you something, right? You didn't just go to a posh school. You got into a brutally academic school.
That's a miracle.
Incredibly difficult to get into.
Yeah, thank you, Shelby.
So you can embrace your education and still be left wing.
Shelby, okay,
thank you very much.
An oasis. You are a therapist. But I've always been a huge admirer of yours, but never got to get to really know you. And then got your book, and you've been amazing. But it is extraordinary the way that you have done all this work on your side, and now you're going to be a psychotherapist.
Well, I hope so, yeah. I just wanted to study it because for my 50th birthday present, I gave myself a present because obviously I'm in therapy and have been for years, but I bought myself a 10-week psychotherapy taster course for this college. And then after I did that, I thought, I never, ever want to leave this world. The love of it comes from the same place stand-up comes from. It's that connection, but it's so much deeper.
Have you talked to Ruby Wax about it?
Not yet.
Oh,
can't
my God.
Wait.
I don't know. Really she's supposed to girl for mental health.
Do that more.
She really is. She might be a bit of competition.
She is a therapist as well.
Yes. I mean, she's incredibly well.
I think she took her education like way further.
Yeah.
I think she got PhD.
She's an astronaut now.
She's an astronaut. She's a trapeze artist. And she translates Mr. Men into Russian.
Do you know something? Sorry, you're well known. If you do become a therapist, I was looking for a therapist a few years ago, and my sister is friends with Tamsin Olivier, the daughter of Laurence Olivier. And she said, Tamsin's a therapist, she'd see you. And I went, I couldn't get over the thing of going, your father was one of the greatest actors that's ever lived.
It wouldn't be ethically right for someone who knew your sister.
Exactly.
I'm in a placement, which is basically when, when you want to get your hair cut for cheaper from Tony and Guy or something, you go to their training school. Same with psychotherapy. So they pay the school like £5-10 an hour and they get a trainee therapist. So I've had clients since September, and professional therapists say getting a trainee is really good because they really want to learn.
Would you take me on as a client?
No, I can't, because I know you and then we couldn't be friends.
No, because I'm on Shrunk and now I'm thinking.
But none of my clients know me because they're young. I'm like, I'll just look at you and maybe, not Maureen Lipman, have another go. No, absolutely nothing.
I've just see Maureen Lipman, that's so true. It's eyes, I think.
Everyone says that.
Oh, a little bit. Your book, which is brilliant.
This is Scatterbrain, isn't it?
I'm giving it the best review by having like a scatterbrain while I'm talking about it. But the thing that scares me the most about it was the fact that you now have a tidy sock drawer. And that made me feel strangely sad in some ways, because I was kind of thinking, when Shappy has a totally tidy sock drawer, what hope is there for the rest of us, if you know what I'm saying?
But you know why it's tidy? It's because I...
Are there any socks in it?
Exactly. I don't have more socks than I need.
You know, I hang on to clothes. Is being a hoarder a sign of ADHD
It's not. It's more complicated than any of that. I think, you know, everyone's different, but I do know that when I was ready to declutter, it changed my life. I was speaking to my dad about it because he has so much clutter, especially in his office where he works. And he goes, yeah, I'm ADHD because I really hoard and I can't declutter. And I said, it's not that you can't declutter. You can't even let anyone else help you declutter. And then I think it went a bit too far. And I went, Dad, I think that might be because you lost your father when you were 7 years old and you've never grieved properly. And even if you get rid of a pen, that's a loss. And he was just like, whoa. I have very heavy conversations with my dad these days.
I'm going to ask a sort of controversial question. There wasn't really ADHD when we were young. And there's a part of me that you go, oh my God, that's so me, when you read the descriptions and you realise that. But at the same time, you go, it's different, isn't it, when you find a frozen chicken breast in your handbag and your car keys in the fridge. Everybody's different. What I'm saying is there seems to be a propensity at the moment to bracketing lots of people, which I think in some ways is a good thing, but could be a bad thing as well, because it's when it turns over and basic human emotions are given a name or a category or a diagnosis. Is that a bit dangerous? A little controversial subject? Well, just saying.
That it's not dangerous and it's not controversial. I think it's really important to talk about, right? Because I know that for me, if I'd had a diagnosis of ADHD as a child, it would have been a game changer. Yeah.
I agree.
It would have saved me from so much battering myself, shaming myself, just not being able to do things other people found easy and keeping trying. And then the people that love you going, well, she's so good at trampolining, so why she can't do algebra? I don't know. And it really is like saying to someone who's short-sighted, if you just tried harder, focus more on seeing, then you would have seen the oncoming cars. And so I get that, but I also understand that there is this locked into the internet that people have, oh, I think that's this. I don't listen to that. I think that's noise. And I don't think we should concentrate on that, because for me, the most debilitating thing was my temper, because I didn't know how to be angry safely because my brain chemicals had not been arranged in a way to allow me to even the most basic standing up for myself I couldn't do. And then that pressure would then make me unleash over something stupid to my poor brother.
Little thing I remember reading about, like chocolates.
Yeah, so when people go, is it, do you really? And I'm like, do you know what? Until you've been on the receiving end of one of my meltdowns, shut the fuck up. I don't need to explain my brain to anyone.
Rory Bremner said to me, he said that everybody's going on about, isn't it sort of convenient that all the comics have come out as ADHD? He said it's the other way around. It's people who do suffer from ADHD tend to go in to comedy.
Or prison.
Oh, God, thank God I chose comedy.
Yeah.
I would not survive prison, because my daughters have said that to me. I don't know why we end up having these conversations.
Just you, spotting an enamel tea mug for the first time would just send you over the edge.
No, I would be fine. I'm very good at keeping my head down. I survived boys' school.
Head down. Don't say that.
Not
in
that way. No, but one thing that's always fascinated, because we were similar all those years ago, but there was always one thing which came up, was on your website, and made me go, yes, you did do that, that you did life modelling.
Oh, yeah.
And that, to me, even then, I remember, you know, feeling like you were a fellow neurotic person. I go, the idea of being naked in front of people.
Or even myself. I can't be naked in front of myself.
I'm disgusted if I catch myself in the mirror. Yet you've always had that. So you've always been a part of me that was quite brave and quite can be open.
I think it's brave, but it's like, the only thing I can relate it to, right, is when I'm scared and when I jump into the fire, I feel in the moment and I feel alive, right? Mm. And if you spend a lot of your time in the fog and masking, because when you were saying that you can't, you know, that anger thing, you're masking all the time. And then I feel in the moment, like there's nothing I can do now. I'm just free falling. Mm. And that's what comedy is like. And that's what life modeling is like. You know, the holiday I went to with my neighbors, it was skiing. I got thrown out of ski school on the second day because I simply can't ski.
Sorry, for being
but
naked.
My neighbours who were always like, oh my God, you're so brave doing comedy. I'm seeing them whoosh down black slopes.
Throwing
and I was like, that's what stand-up's like. That's what life modelling was like. Mm. I have tension, I have fear. And I did this life modelling thing after a lifetime of hating my body, not being able to look at my body. And I remember my brother, his girlfriend did life modelling and she couldn't do it one day. And she said, will you take my place? And my brother said, if you can do that, then you can do stand up. And that's what made me do it, because I was too scared to do stand up. I was like, I need to shed some fear. And it's the weirdest thing. But weirdly, also, if people are really concentrating on the drawings, you actually feel really powerful and in control. One time I did it for 16-year-olds. And when their teacher left the class, they all started chatting about EastEnders. And I had to put my robe on and say, if you're drawing me, I'm a life model. But if you're chatting, I'm just a woman that's walked in naked.
Wow. Yes.
And so it really helped me shed that self-consciousness. And I like challenging myself. I do. Sometimes I'm really stupid about it and I harm myself and others, but I'm hoping that they're kind of becoming fewer and fewer times. I speak without thinking sometimes. I react. I've really upset people with my quick reactions to something and then not being able to be emotionally regulated enough to take accountability and digging my heels in. And the next thing, I'm on the Today Show being an arsehole to good people. That's for another time.
Can you just do the rest of our podcast forever? Because I feel like we've only scratched the surface and we need to have questions.
Do you know why I can't do a podcast?
Why?
I can't delegate and I can't do any organisation. I've had meetings about podcasts. I get lost.
No.
I get lost and I just end up retreating, thinking, there's too much paraphernalia.
Right, quick fire questions. You're not allowed to think about them. Totally subliminal. Just like, don't think about
it. Just say, do you like us?
Do you like us?
Yes.
Oh,
who do you like
more? That's
an
unusual response.
I don't think in the 25 odd years I've known you, Hal, I have made the connection with you that I have during this podcast.
Oh.
So I really liked Ronnie more, but now I like you both the same.
What? I've lost the lead.
I know.
How can I have done that in 40 minutes?
You can work
That's a record for me.
You can work on this disappointment in therapy.
See, I've gone up, whereas you just...
Hal gaining doesn't take anything from you.
No. It's like group therapy. This is the most therapeutic...
Why don't you listen to the woman?
Can you comfortably say you're happy?
Yes.
Wow. And what does that feel like?
Yes, what is it like? And can you write that...
It's peaceful. Happiness is not like, yay! It's like, I can cope. I am peaceful and I'm in the moment and I appreciate this leaf.
It's like everything that's opposite to what we
are. Can I have some of your pills, please?
Has the jigsaw or this chat made you feel at all calmer, or were you already calmer when you came in?
I've actually found myself fiddling around with the jigsaw and it's really helped me because I talk better when I'm moving my hands.
I don't think the way we've dealt with this jigsaw is going to get us any sponsorship from any jigsaw companies.
No,
In fact, positively, it might be anti.
I have to say, it is the most ADHD attempt to do a jigsaw puzzle in that it is not
We've
made at
all.
We've
got the wrong brains. And also, I've overshot it because it's 1,000 pieces. What we needed was like one of those wooden ones with the handles on for four-year-olds.
Yes.
I
miss
five
those.
Pieces.
And also, the colours are quite similar. It's not like those where there's like, here's
blue,
the red section.
It's a lot of blue because it's Hal's complexion.
But that's my shirt. There's a lot of shirt.
Is it Hal's face?
Yes. Do you see? Oh,
I didn't even know what it was.
It's all fast.
Right. Here's what I've become really comfortable with. I am so comfortable with the fact that sometimes I am miraculously thick. I accept that. Sometimes I am.
Now, Hal doesn't accept that at all about himself.
I once did. It was one of the most freeing moments of my life because I once did an online IQ test. I just went, well, move some shapes around. And I was very, very low IQ. And I used that, but I used that to go, how incredible that I get to be a stand-up. I do a career and I'm having to work so much harder than people with normal IQs. Being thick is a great liberation. It's being clever and not achieving your potential is the real crisis. And then I actually did another test later on and actually I did do rather well. But
you did the initial...
I did the initial test very badly.
That's very
There's a certain
dumb.
Part of the IQ test I'm really bad at. I was doing some
Is
bit.
It the weird triangle?
Yes.
Anyway, we've got to wrap up.
You know, we love you. I just want to end with this, right? You know, throughout my career, I've always said to people, oh, I always think of that Pet Shop Boys lyric, you've both made such a little go a very long way. And that's how I feel about myself. And now I don't feel that myself. I think I have an abundance and I should have done better earlier, but I wasn't healed enough. And one day, guys, one day we shall sit together, three of us, and do this jigsaw.
Exactly.
One day.
Wouldn't it be lovely if we'll do this in 20 years' time?
I think I'll be 130 then, but I'll give it a go. Anyway,
Shappy, thank you so much.
Pleasure.
I was almost going to go, where are you going now? Can we come with you?
Yes, can we just follow you around like little dogs going?
But yeah, thank you. You've been amazing.
My pleasure.
Amazing. Amazing.
Thank you. She is actually the nearest we've had to someone with actual mental health knowledge who can help with dealing with neurosis.
Yeah, well, although Joe did. But what I did love about Shappy was that she has been on a real journey because she's someone who's really properly done the work that, as she pointed out, I have spectacularly failed to do.
But you should be inspired by it, Ronnie. And it's not just to save you and to make you feel happier. It's also to help everybody that has to encounter you in life.
You're making it out that I haven't done any therapy. I've done a bit.
Well, how much?
Not much, but with an afternoon. Anyway, it wasn't my fault.
Did you have a therapist who turned you down or sacked you?
She said it was just about self-preservation, but sacked is a strong word. Yes.
Amanda-style stress-related issues after dealing with you.
Anyway, how is your therapy going with Barbara? Do you know what? I find myself sympathising with people who just have to sit and listen to you. Honestly, I don't mean that in a hurtful way, but I always thought that therapists were really, really overpaid. But now, in your case, sometimes I think, my God, I'm not actually being paid myself.
I think the thing is, Ronnie, I have stopped therapy for the moment, actually. I'm probably going to start again. Look, I don't want to be cocky, but I bring issues, but I also chuck the odd joke in, whereas yours is probably one long whine. Anyway, sorry, listening back, though, the thing about Shappy is I love her honesty. She is so brilliantly honest with this. There's one point where I fish for a compliment. I said to her, I said, we were both quite similar. We were both really neurotic. We used to go out and do gigs and get drunk afterwards with groups of friends and be all panicky about, oh, what's happening with my life? And I said, you kind of grew out of that. You did the work, Shappy, and you've been through a bit of a transformation. And instead of her going, oh, Hal, you're lovely as well, because I was slightly fishing, she then told a story about how years later she met me and went, oh, you're still like that. It was pretty brutal, but it was very, very true.
She was really out there about not liking you.
Yes.
For decades. And that is interesting, actually. I don't think she's the only guest who hasn't liked you. I would say that she's the only guest that we've had that's been really direct about it.
That's possibly true, but I felt animosity towards both of us. But I also think, at the end of the chat there, she said, I really feel like I've made a greater connection with Hal than I have for, like, the last 25, 30 years. And it just shows that once you've known me a very, very long time, you can really realise how lovely I am. Honestly, I bet you 25 years, Ronnie, you'll be on your deathbed or something and I'll pop in to see you. I think you're going to die before me. And I'll pop in to see you and I bet you you will have a sudden moment going, I actually quite like you,
Hal. Well, I imagine I'll be on my deathbed, you'll still be needy. You'll still be like, oh, I didn't want milk. Oh, can I just have an extra sugar? Anyway, do you think one day you're like me, Hal?
Well, I'll be popping in to see you on your deathbed. I'll probably be between work, because I'll still be working, I'm hoping, when I'm old.
I mean, you're obsessed with death, I have to say, you know, and you shouldn't talk about death in front of Lily, because A, she's young, and B, the cat.
In a way, cats are a lovely introduction for younger people to death, though. So, Lily...
Oh!
Is that... No, but it's not just a lovely thing. Sorry, Lily. I'm really sorry. Please come back if Amanda doesn't return. Yeah.
Anyway,
let's forget about Lily's
death,
cat. See you soon. Thanks for listening.
Still crying.